here's what everyone needs tonight, is that Christ came to finish not the moral law or the Ten Commandments, but he came to put an end to the ceremonial law, the ordinances that was to teach us about his ministry here in this world. And friends, if that's clear, would you please say amen? The fourth commandment still remains just like the rest of the ten. And how do we know that? Because friends, you tell me, is it right or wrong to kill? Friends, you need to be a lot quicker than that. Is it wrong to kill, yes or no? Is it wrong to abort babies, yes or no? Is it wrong to steal? What about commit adultery? What about taking God's name in vain? And why is it wrong? Because that's the Ten Commandments. And a part of those same commandments that we say, yes, that's that we still can't kill after the cross, a part of that same commandment is the fourth commandment that says, remember the seven-day Sabbath. You see, we cannot divorce the fourth commandment from the Ten Commandments. Either they're all going to stand together, or they're all going to fall together. We can't treat God's law like a buffet. What do you do at a buffet? You pick and choose, isn't that right? But friends, God, as we mentioned before, he who keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point is guilty of all. And therefore, just as Paul said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And friends, how many of you are thankful that there still remains a rest even after the cross? Can you say amen? Now, that's clear in the Bible that the seventh day is the Sabbath. But many people ask, well, can we really be sure which day the seventh day of the week is? We know that it doesn't say a seventh day as if we can just choose one out of seven. It says the seventh day. And so many people are wondering, can we really be sure which day it is? There's 7 days in the week. Which one is it? We have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Which one is the biblical Sabbath? Well, friends, if we could not know what day the seventh day of the week was, that means that this is a law that we would not be able to keep. And friends, would God ask us to do something that it's impossible to do? Would God ever ask us to do something that is impossible, yes or no? Of course not. If he did, he would be unfair and unjust. But friends, God is a fair and a just God. Can you say amen? And so he has not left us to guess which day the seventh day of the week is. There are many ways to confirm it. In what ways? Friends, the Bible makes it clear which day the seventh day of the week is. Not only that, but dictionaries make it clear, the calendars, even astronomy and language make it clear which day the seventh day of the week is. And so first, let's go to the Bible to find out which day it is. Please open now with me to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, what chapter are we going to? Friends, remember, what are we doing tonight? Tonight, we're defining what the sign is. And then tomorrow night, we will discover why it's so important. And so, friends, listen, tonight is somewhat of an informational topic, somewhat of a proof texting, you can say, but that's essential because it's foundational. And a house is only as strong as its foundation. And so as we have a good, solid foundation, then we'll be able to understand the theological house that we'll continue to build in the Word of God, from the Word of God, I should say. And so notice, what day is the seventh day of the week? Notice in the book of Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 53, that's on page 1046 if you're using the Seminar Bible. Page 1046, Luke 23, verse 53. If you're there, would you please say amen? The Bible says, this is talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I want us to notice the sequence of events. Luke 23, 53, the Bible says, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the what? Preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. So here we find Jesus dies on what the Bible calls the day of preparation, which was the sixth day of the week, the day before the Sabbath day. Friends, what day did Jesus die? The sixth day of the week. And friends, remember when he died on the cross, there was something he said just before he died. Do you remember what he said? He said, "It is finished." And then he dies. And then immediately after that, his body is taken down from the cross and is placed in the sepulcher where the body of Jesus, where he rests on which day? On the Sabbath day. Friends, when was the last time God ended something on the sixth day and then rested the seventh day? When was the last time? When he created man. Remember that? On the sixth day of the week, God made man, and right after he created man, it was finished. And then he rests on the first Sabbath of creation. And we find that what God did when he created man, he repeats when he redeems man, when he recreates man by his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus says, it is finished. He dies, and through his death, man can be redeemed, or man can be restored or recreated, we could say. And then after that, Jesus rests on the Sabbath in his death, which gives us another beautiful dimension of the Sabbath. It doesn't just point us back to creation, but it points us to the fact that Jesus is our Savior, our sacrifice. He spilt his blood, and because of his sacrifice, we are redeemed and restored by his grace. Can you say amen? And so the Sabbath is a memorial, not just of creation, but it also becomes a memorial of recreation or redemption. And so we find Jesus rests in the tomb on the Sabbath, and then notice what day he rose from the grave. Let's go now to chapter 24 and verse 1. Luke 24 verse 1, the Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, the what number day? Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Why was his body not there? Because he is risen. He is alive. We serve a risen Savior. Can you say amen? But what day did Jesus resurrect from the grave? The Bible says it was the morning of the first day of the week. So here we find the sequence of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It helps us to deduce what day the seventh day of the week is. Jesus dies on the sixth day of the week. That's called the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. He rests in the tomb on the seven-day Sabbath. And then he resurrects on the first day of the week. That's the day of resurrection. And friends, think about it. What day do we call the day that Jesus died? We call that Good Friday. And the day that he resurrected from the grave, we call it Easter Sunday. And so the day between the day he died and the day he rose again is the seventh day of the week. It is the Sabbath. And what day is it? It's Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And friends, you can also go to the dictionary to confirm this. If you look up the word Saturday in Webster's dictionary, the definition of the word Saturday is the seventh day of the week. You look up the word Sunday, the dictionary definition, it's the first day of the week. Not only that, but if you go to the calendar, most calendars show us that Sunday is the first day of the week, and that Saturday is the seventh day of the week. And by the way, friends, the Sabbath, Saturday, is still the day that the Jews, who are strict keepers of time, they still keep this day as the Sabbath today. Now, some people have wondered, well, how do we know that the days haven't been lost? How do we know that the calendar hasn't been corrupted? And how do we know that the weekly cycle of today is still the same as it was in the days of Christ? Well, friends, now we go to astronomy to confirm that the weekly cycle has never been changed. Now, calendar dates have been changed, but the weekly cycle has never been tampered with. And I'm going to give you a handout tonight that gives you all the details of that, but let me give you the short version tonight. The United States Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., they made a statement based upon the weekly cycle, and they, through their study, they've shown that it is still the same today as it was in the first century during the time of Christ. Notice what they said. We have had occasion to investigate the works of specialists in chronology, and we have not found one of them that ever had the slightest doubt about the continuity of the weekly cycle into the what? Into the Christian era. Friends, the weekly cycle during Christ's day is the same weekly cycle of today. The day that we call Saturday is the day that he kept as the Sabbath back in the first century. You see, friends, calendar days, the days of the week have never been altered. In fact, let me give you the history. The calendar that we use today is called the Gregorian calendar. The what calendar? The calendar that was used during the time of Christ in the first century was called the Julian calendar. The which calendar? And if you put the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar side by side, the day that was the Sabbath in the Julian is the same day that we call Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And friends, another way we can know for sure what day the seventh day is through language. Did you know that in over 105 languages in the world, the word for the seventh day of the week is not Saturday like we use in English, but it's the word Sabbath. Let me give you a few examples. In Hebrew, it's the word Shabbat. Can you say that? In Greek, it's Sabbaton. In Portuguese and Spanish, it's Sabado. In Russian, it's Subata. In Polish, Sobota. In Arabic, Sabbat. In French, Semedi. In Armenian, Shabbat. And over 100 languages around the world, the word for the seventh day of the week, Saturday, is indeed Sabbath. And friends, if that's clear, would you please say amen? Now, friends, if this is the case, I know the next question you're probably wondering right now is this. Well, why do most people keep Sunday as the Sabbath? If that's the first day of the week. I mean, that's the next logical question. Friends, when I first heard this, that was the question I had. I mean, if the seventh day of the week is Saturday and Sunday is the first day of the week, then why do most people keep Sunday as the Sabbath? And friends, the answer is simple. It's because that's the day that Jesus resurrected from the grave. And many people think and assume that because Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week, that that somehow changed what God wrote with his own finger on tablets of stone. And that's the reason why the majority of the Christian world has forgotten the very commandment God said to remember. Because Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, and so they think, many think that they should keep that day in honor of the resurrection. And so we need to ask the question, is this true? Is this biblical? Because friends, even though it might be popular, what is popular is not always right. And what is right is not always popular, isn't that right? And so the question is, did Christ change the Sabbath in honor of his resurrection? Friends, you will not find that in the Bible. In fact, you find just the opposite. I want you to notice, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus prophesied about the coming destruction of Jerusalem. He said to his people that the Roman armies would come to destroy Jerusalem and that they would level the sanctuary. And Jesus said, when you see the armies come, I want you to flee to the mountains for your life. And then he added a very important commandment to fleeing. Notice what he said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 20. Please write it down. Matthew 24, 20, the Bible says, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the what day? So Jesus said when the armies come to destroy Jerusalem, you need to be praying that you don't have to flee to the mountains in the winter nor on the Sabbath day. Now, friends, question, why did Jesus ask his disciples to pray about this? Obviously, he did not want them to have to flee to the mountains in the winter because it would be hard to survive in the cold weather during the winter season. But he also said, pray that it doesn't happen on the Sabbath day. Why? Because think about it. Being attacked on the Sabbath would have caused them to be so stressed out and worried, they would break the Sabbath. But Jesus said, pray that it doesn't happen on the Sabbath because Jesus did not want them to break the Sabbath. Not even to save their lives. Much less to save a job, friends. Now tell me, do you think Jesus knew exactly when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed? Yes or no? Of course. And when was Jerusalem destroyed? It happened about 40 years after the resurrection in the year AD 70. Now friends, why did Christ ask the disciples to pray that they wouldn't have to flee on the Sabbath when he knew that this event would happen after the resurrection? Because Jesus knew that the resurrection would not change the Sabbath. Are you with me, yes or no? It remains the same. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have asked them to pray that they would have to flee on the Sabbath. He would have said, pray that you wouldn't have to flee on the first day of the week if the resurrection changed the Sabbath. Don't miss the point. Christ intended his people to keep the Sabbath even 40 years after his resurrection. Friends, the resurrection does not change what God wrote with his own finger on tablets of stone. Are you with me? Yes or no? And remember, friends, when people say it's written in stone, what do they mean by that? They mean that it can't be changed. And that's the same thing with the Sabbath. And not only that, friends, but I want you to notice, we even find in the New Testament God's people, the disciples, keeping the Sabbath after the resurrection. And we find this happening over 80 times in the New Testament. How many times? The New Testament shows us God's church, the New Testament church made of Jew and Gentile, keeping the Sabbath over 80 times. Now, friends, let's take a look at all 80 times very quickly before we close tonight. And don't be nervous. It's going to go by very quickly. Here's what the Bible tells us. Please write it down. Acts chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, and they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the what? On the Sabbath day and sat down. This is after the resurrection of Christ. They go into the synagogue and the Jews ask the Apostle Paul to preach to them. Now, friends, listen. If the Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week because of the resurrection, Paul, when he preached on that Sabbath, would have told them, hey, we need to start keeping the first day of the week. But nowhere does he mention this in his sermon or any of his writings. Now, if anyone knew that the resurrection would change the Sabbath, surely it would be Paul, because he was converted 3.5 years after the resurrection of Christ. But friends, he makes no reference to it being changed, because it wasn't. In fact, I want you to notice what happened when the sermon was over. There were some Gentile believers that wanted Paul to preach to them as well. And in verses 42 to 44, the Bible says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles," the who? "The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them," when? "The next Sabbath." So they said, "Paul, would you please give us the sermon next Sabbath?" And friends, listen, if the Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week, or if the Sabbath was just for the Jews and Sunday was for the Gentiles, Paul would have told these Gentile believers, "Hey, you don't have to wait till next Sabbath. Just come tomorrow morning. We can have Sunday school and Sunday worship." But he doesn't say this, friends. In fact, notice what he continued to say to them in the next verse. "Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to," what is that word? "Continue in the what? Grace of God." You see, friends, these were believers, Gentile believers, and they were not under the law. They were under grace. They were grace-filled Christians. Paul said, "Continue in that grace." And yet we see that even though they were grace-filled Christians, they still kept the Sabbath. You know why? Because people who are filled with the grace of God, they're going to want to keep the Sabbath day as a special sign between them and God. And in the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now, sometimes the New Testament church had no place to worship. So notice what they did. They went out in nature and they worshiped God. In Acts 16, verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made." You see, they were able to worship God in nature. Why? Because remember, it's not the place that's holy. It is the what? The time that is holy. In fact, notice another one. Acts chapter 18 and verse 4, it says, talking about the Apostle Paul when he was at Corinth. It says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue," how many Sabbaths? "Every Sabbath, and persuaded" who? "The Jews and the Greeks," both Jew and Gentile, keeping the Sabbath after the resurrection of Christ. And it says that Paul persuaded, he was there every single Sabbath. This happened in Corinth, and Paul was in the church of Corinth for 1.5 years. And friends, you know how many Sabbaths is in 1.5 years? 78. And so there you have most of the Sabbaths right there. 78 times the Apostle Paul and the New Testament church, Jew and Gentile, keeping the seven-day Sabbath. We see both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Sabbath was a special sign of a special relationship between God and his people. And friends, if this is clear, would you please say amen? Amen. Now, some might be wondering, what about when the apostles worshiped on the first day of the week? I mean, didn't they have a church service in Acts chapter 20 on the first day of the week? And friends, the answer is yes, they worshiped on the first day of the week. Not only did they worship on the first day, but they also worshiped on the second and the third and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and especially the seventh. You see, friends, we should worship God every day of the week. Can you say amen? You see, our lives ought to constantly be worshiping God. You see, we can worship God every single day of the week. But friends, the Sabbath is not just a day of worship. It's a day to cease from all our secular activities. It's a 24-hour period, not just a day to go to church, but a 24-hour period to totally unplug from the world. And this is what the human heart really needs. It's a day to cease from secular. We don't have to worry about paying the bills and going out and doing errands or mowing the lawn or catching the football game. All these things, we can put all those aside, totally unplug from the world and plug into the sweet rest of Jesus. Now, friends, I'm going to give you a handout on your way out tonight that explains 8 biblical principles of what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. Because many people who keep Sunday as the Sabbath, for them, it's just a day to go to church. And then after that, they do their own thing. But friends, biblically, it's 24 hours of sweet, sacred time with Jesus. Now, friends, while we can worship God every single day, we cannot keep every day holy. Do you know why? Because not every day is holy to begin with. You see, in the Bible, God made 6 days as common work days, the days that we are to do our work. And only the seventh is the holy day. Now, friends, it's impossible for man to make anything holy because we're unholy. We can never make anything holy. Everything we do is defiled by sin. Only a holy God can make a holy day. And that's why God did not say to make the Sabbath holy. He said to keep it holy. Why? Because it was already holy to begin with. Are you with me, yes or no? And so, friends, think about it. If you and I cannot make a day, how many of you can make a day? Can you make tomorrow come? Yes or no? Friends, we don't have the power to make a day. And if we can't make a day, what makes us think that we can make a day holy? We cannot. And by the way, friends, what is the only day of the week that cannot be the Sabbath? Let me say it like this. If God created the world in 5 days, what day would be the Sabbath? The sixth day, right? If he created the world in 4 days, which day would be the Sabbath? The fifth day, the day after he was finished. If God created the world in 3 days, which day would be the Sabbath? If he created it in 2 days, which day would be the Sabbath? Which is the only day that absolutely cannot be the Sabbath? The first day. And friends, it's interesting that that is the day that many people have chosen as the Sabbath. And of all the days of the week, that's the only day that is impossible for it to be the Sabbath. And so now we go to Acts chapter 20 and answer the question, what about when the disciples worship on the first day of the week? Is this a biblical precedent that we ought to keep Sunday as the Sabbath? Let's find out exactly what was taking place. Notice with me in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. Please write it down. Notice with me on the screen. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart when? On the morrow, and continued his speech till when? Midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Here we find the Apostle Paul preaching. It's the first day of the week. The disciples are breaking bread, and people read this surfacely, and they think that this is a biblical precedent that we ought to keep the first day of the week as the Sabbath. But friends, there's nothing in this passage that says that the Sabbath was changed because of this. The Sabbath is even in this passage, and nothing is mentioned that the first day was anything special in this context. You see, friends, we need to have a clear biblical command if we want to change something that God wrote with his own finger on tablets of stone. Can you say amen? Now, the fact that they broke bread on the first day of the week doesn't make it a Sabbath, because in Acts 2:46, the Bible says that they broke bread every single day. But nonetheless, we find that this is a worship service, and it is happening on the first day of the week. Paul preached, and he speaks until midnight. Then notice what happens. It says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, and being fallen into a deep sleep, as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And some of you are reading that, you're saying, that's the lesson. Don't preach long sermons. But friends, that's not the lesson. The lesson is don't fall asleep in church. Otherwise, you might end up dead. And so, friends, I know that I'm known for preaching long sermons, but at least no one can accuse me of not trying to be thorough, amen? And so I promise you, I'm not going to preach till midnight, amen? I won't preach too long, and you don't fall asleep on me, and we'll meet each other halfway. Does that sound good? And so here we find the apostle is preaching on the first day of the week. Which number? And what time of the first day of the week? The daytime or the dark time? The dark time. He continued his speech till midnight. So here we find that this is happening on the dark part of the first day of the week. And friends, question, when is that? When do the days begin and end according to the Bible? You see, we reckon the beginning and ending of days from when? Midnight to midnight. Is that right? In our society, midnight to midnight, that's the beginning and ending of days. But friends, back in these times, they didn't have watches to know when midnight was. They began and ended days based upon the time or the position of the sun. So when do days begin and end in the Bible? I want you to notice. Write these scriptures down. Leviticus 23 verse 32 tells us, from even to even shall you celebrate the Sabbaths. From when? Even or evening to evening. Friends, when do the days begin and end? From evening to evening. And friends, when exactly is evening? Mark chapter 1 verse 32 tells us, at even when the sun did set. So friends, when do the days begin and end? Sunset to sunset. Remember in the first week of creation, God created the days and he said, and the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning, second day. Evening and morning, third. So when does the day begin? In the evening or morning? Evening. And when is evening? When the sun sets. And so in Acts chapter 20, it is the first day of the week, but it's the dark part of the first day of the week. Friends, what would we call the dark part of the first day of the week? When does Sunday really begin? It begins on what we would call Saturday night, right? When it gets dark on Saturday, that's the beginning of the first day of the week. And so what was happening in Acts chapter 20, the disciples and God's people worshiping God all Sabbath long that day. And then when the Sabbath was ending on what we would call Saturday night, they continued to worship. They continued to gather together. And the reason why is because the Apostle Paul was going to leave the next morning never to see them again. And so he preached and he spoke with them all night long. But then you notice the next morning, Sunday morning, Paul did not stay there to have worship. He simply traveled to another place. Why? Because that day was not sanctified. It was not holy. It was not sacred. It was a common day for common travel and common work. Are you with me? Yes or no? And so if the first day of the week begins on what we would call Saturday evening, then when does the Sabbath begin? The evening before on what we would call Friday evening. Friends, when's the Sabbath? From Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Friends, do you realize what time it is? We call this Friday, but it's the dark part of Friday now. Friends, do you realize when the sun set today, we have actually entered into the sacred, holy hours of the seven-day Sabbath where God has pronounced an extra special rich blessing. And friends, if you're hearing this for the first time, I want to be the very first one to wish you a very happy Sabbath. You know why? Because Sabbath is a happy day, friends. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Why? Because it reminds us that God is our creator, that he is our redeemer, and that we're saved only by resting in his completed work. Oh, friends, it's a day of happy rejoicing. Not just a day to go to church, but 24 hours of sacred time with sweet Jesus. And friends, it's a blessing that you can claim even tonight. Can you say amen? Now, friends, not only did the disciples after the resurrection keep the Sabbath in the New Testament, but God is going to have end-time disciples who will do the exact same thing. Notice in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." God's end-time people in the last days, they're not only going to have faith in Jesus, but they're going to keep the commandments of God. They have a faith that works because they love the Lord Jesus. And when it says that they keep the commandments of God, that's how many commandments? Not just 9, but all 10. They're going to experience the rest of Jesus Christ. And by the way, friends, do you realize that we're also going to be keeping the Sabbath in heaven? It's Revelation's eternal sign of love. Notice in Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23, it says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord." Friends, every single Sabbath in heaven, we're going to be meeting at the throne of God. We're going to be keeping it in heaven. And friends, I want to keep it in heaven. How about you? But before we can keep it in heaven, let's start keeping it down here because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, friends, it's Revelation's special sign of love given not just to the Jew, but for the entire human race. And friends, if this is clear, would you please say amen? But after going through all of these scriptures, some people still ask me, well, what difference does a day make? I mean, come on, is God really that particular? Can't I just choose one day out of seven? Wouldn't God understand if I have to work on the Sabbath, if I just pick another day to rest? Oh, friends, let me answer that question with a question. Can we ever trust our own reasoning? Friends, the Bible tells us that there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It may seem right to us to just pick one out of seven. It may seem right to us to do what everyone else is doing. But friends, if it's not found in the Bible, what seems right to us leads to death because the wages of sin is death, and sin is the breaking of the law. And so friends, we can't choose one day out of seven and think God will understand. God was specific. He didn't say a 7 day. He said the 7 day. Is the Sabbath of the Lord. This is my holy day. But friends, the Bible makes it clear that it's God's word and God's law that is the standard of right and wrong. Not what a man says, not what a church teaches, Not what pastors and theologians are saying. It's the Word of God that is the standard. And friends, this message is for those who want to take seriously the teachings of the Word of God. Can you say amen? Now, friends, let me ask you a question. Was God particular in telling Adam and Eve which fruit not to eat of in the Garden of Eden? Was he specific? Or did he say, you can eat whatever you want to eat? Just pick whatever. Did he say that, friends? No, he said, this tree in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die, because the wages of sin is death. God was specific in his command. And by the way, he was very generous. He said, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat, except for this one. God gives us 6 days to do our errands and our work, and all he asked is for one day out of seven. Wow, that's a generous God. I can serve a God like that. Can you say amen? And so God comes to Eve and Adam, makes it clear. But then the serpent comes and causes our first mother to rationalize. And perhaps the serpent said to Eve, Eve, you can eat of this fruit. It looks good. It's just the same as the others that God said you can eat. Go ahead and eat. God does not mean exactly what he says. He's not that particular. Go ahead and eat. You can sin and break God's law and still be saved. All the trees look the same. Perhaps Eve rationalized that away. And I think that Satan causes us to do the same thing when it comes to the Sabbath. He calls us to rationalize and think to ourselves, God is not that particular. I mean, we can just choose one out of seven. All the days, they all look the same anyway. I mean, the days are no different. And friends, listen, outwardly, it's true. Outwardly, there really is no difference in the days. You know why? Because it rains on the seventh day of the week just like it rains on the first day of the week. It rains on every day of the week. Outwardly, there seems to be no difference in the days. But friends, is there a difference? And what is the difference? The Word of God. Amen? What was the difference in the trees in the Garden of Eden, the forbidden tree? I don't think it was poisonous, friends. The only thing that made a difference is God's Word said, do not eat of this fruit. In the same way, when it comes to the Sabbath, the only difference that is made is the fact that God's Word says it. And so we find that the test is not just in the outward sign, but in submission to the Word and the authority of God our Creator. And that's why the Sabbath is a sign that we believe that Jesus is our Lord. He is the ruler of our lives, and he is the Savior of the world. You see, friends, if God said keep Tuesday, I'm going to keep Tuesday. It doesn't matter to me. It's not about my convenience or my schedule. It's about his holy word. And the Bible tells us that we need to be consistent. Jesus said that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But some people cry, but all we have to do is worship God in spirit and in truth. It does not matter where and when. Just worship God in spirit and in truth. And I agree that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. But friends, what is truth? The Bible tells us in Psalms 119, 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. And so, friends, it's impossible to really worship God in spirit and in truth if we're not worshiping in harmony with all God's commandments. And friends, if that is clear, if that makes sense, if that's logical, would you please say amen? Now, friends, listen. After sharing all those scriptures, many people ask, actually, before we get to that, let me make a bold statement right now. And friends, what I'm about to say to you, don't misunderstand it. The only reason why I'm going to say what I'm about to say is to challenge you to study for yourself. Friends, you don't have to believe anything you're hearing tonight unless it's backed up by the Bible. And friends, you shouldn't believe it just because a man says it. Go home and check for yourself. And here's the challenge. Here's the reward. If you can find one verse, how many verses? Just one verse from Genesis to Revelation that says anything about Sunday being the Sabbath, or that the Sabbath was changed in honor of the resurrection, or that we no longer have to keep the Sabbath, or that the Sabbath is just for Jews and Sunday is for Gentiles. If you can find just one verse that tells us we ought to keep Sunday as the day of worship, as the day to be kept holy, just how many verses? One verse. I'm going to give you a reward. You see, right now we're living in difficult economic times, isn't that right? How many of you could use an extra $10,000? Could you use that? If you could use that, would you please say amen? Oh, some of you didn't say amen. Wow. Now, friends, I know, and you know, that it won't hurt to have an extra $10,000, right? And so here's the reward. If you can find one verse that says anything about Sunday being the Sabbath and what I just mentioned, just one verse, not a whole list of verses, just one, you'll be $10,000 more wealthy. Because I've been looking for this verse for many years. I've been searching and searching. I've been asking a congregation and everyone, and no one has ever found the verse. Just one. You know why? Because it doesn't exist, friends. And if you don't believe me, check for yourself. That's the only reason why I say that. Friends, do you think I have $10,000 to be given to people all the time? The reason why I say that is so that you can know that we have nothing to hide. The Bible, friends, is abundantly clear, but you must check for yourself. How many of you can do that tonight? Check for yourself, friends. You will not find a single verse, and that ought to say something clearly to you tonight. Now, friends, if it's true that Saturday is the true biblical Sabbath, then why do most people keep Sunday? And here's the reason. And this, brothers and sisters, is how this topic ties in and connects with Bible prophecy. It's because the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, about the Antichrist kingdom that would think to change times and laws. Friends, what is the only law in the Ten Commandments that has to do with time? The fourth commandment. And why is it that most people keep Sunday as the Sabbath? Because the Antichrist kingdom has come into the temple of God, the Christian church, bringing false and confusing counterfeits. This was the kingdom that changed the Sabbath from Saturday, the seventh day of the week, to Sunday, the first day of the week. And many people have never heard this before. And many people are sincere, but they're sincerely mistaken because of the Antichrist power. Now, friends, how many of you want to know who this is? Do you want to know who this is? Do you want to know who changed the Sabbath, who the Antichrist is? If you want to know, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Are you sure you want to know? Yes. If so, say amen again. Amen. Well, friends, if you really want to know, you're going to have to come tomorrow night. Because, friends, I don't want to give you my opinion. You can throw my opinion in the garbage. It does not matter what I say, what a man teaches, what a church's doctrine is, what theologians say. All that matters is what does the Bible say. And tomorrow night we're going to look at 10 fingerprints of who the Antichrist is and the greatest deception in changing God's times and laws. Oh, friends, are you going to be here tomorrow night? Oh, please don't miss it, friends. It's going to be powerful. You see, tonight we have discovered what the sign is. Tomorrow night, we will see why it's so important in light of Bible prophecy. But friends, as we begin to close, though the Sabbath has largely been forgotten, many people are studying the Bible like they'd never studied before, and they're discovering and rediscovering this long-forgotten truth, the blessing of the Sabbath. And love for Jesus is compelling many Christians to go to their employers to say to them, I can no longer work from Friday evening to Saturday evening. That's not your time. That's not my time. It's the Lord's time, a time of special sacredness and holiness. Love for Jesus is compelling individuals to follow him in all things. You see, friends, it's not a day to catch the movie or to rush our car or to do the errands. It's 24 hours of sweet time with Jesus. And friends, think about that. It's amazing to think that our God is not too big and not too busy to spend quality, special time with us. Friends, who are you and who am I that the God of heaven wants to spend this quality time with us? Isn't it amazing, friends? It's a blessing. And as we close tonight, remember, the one that saved us and the one that made us doesn't want us to forget him. Amen. How many of you love the Lord Jesus tonight? If you love him, would you please say amen? Amen. Well, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Friends, is the Bible saying that those who keep Sunday as the Sabbath are bad people? Absolutely not. Is the Bible saying that those who keep Sunday as the Sabbath are lost? No, friends. Why? Because many people have never heard what you've just heard before, what you've just heard tonight. Many people who are keeping Sunday are sincere, wonderful people. They're living up to all the light they know. They never heard this before. And God never holds us accountable to things that we don't know. He only holds us accountable when the light has come. When the truth has come, then he asks us to walk in it. And some of you might be tempted to think, man, I wish I didn't come tonight. Well, friends, let me tell you, now that we know, it's a privilege to know, because Jesus said, when we know the truth will. You see, friends, maybe you've been keeping Sunday all your life, like I used to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. You were never aware that it wasn't in the Bible. And yet you love God and you walked in with him in sincerity. Tonight he's just asking you to take the next step in the journey, friends. To draw even closer to him. He's seeking to lead us not just into some truth, but into all truth. And I remember when I first heard this, it was a bit surprising because, friends, listen, truth sounds strange in a world of universal deceit. Did you catch that? Truth, when you first hear it, it sounds strange, especially when there's so many lies out there. I went to church on Sunday, but then when I saw it from the Bible, God showed me a better way, a more biblical way, a way that it can honor him more. And though keeping the Sabbath required some adjusting in my life and adjusting in my schedule, I made the decision years ago and I have never regretted it. The Sabbath is the most happiest, most joy-filled day of the entire week. It's an entire day to reconnect with my Maker. And friends, don't allow the devil to rob you of this extra special blessing. Thousands of others who have learned this have made the same decision and they've never regretted it. And so as we close tonight, I'm not going to ask you to accept the Sabbath because maybe you need some time to study and digest. That's perfectly fine, friends. I'm not going to ask you tonight to accept it. Maybe you need to pray on it and study for yourself. But I believe that God would have us tonight make a decision to allow him to lead us in all things. Amen. And if truth calls for change in our lives, let's allow the Lord Jesus to bring about that glorious change. Amen. How many of you want the rest that Jesus offers? And how many of you want the Lord of the Sabbath to be the Lord of your life? If that's your prayer, I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. My friends are going to sing a closing song and then we'll pray and dismiss tonight. Listen carefully to the message of this song.
God took 6 days and created earth and moon and stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine. This temple made of time. See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the rabbis, for he would not heed their laws. So they killed him on a hillside as the sun temple made. of time.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for helping us through this message about a special sign you've given to us from the very beginning. A sign that reminds us that you are our Creator. You are our Redeemer. You are the Lord of our lives. And that we're saved only by resting in your completed work. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing this truth to our minds. Lord, we pray that as we investigate, as we study this, and as you lead us step by step, give us the courage to apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray that you'll put in our hearts a love for Jesus that will result in receiving and accepting all the blessings that you have in store for us. Lord, I want to pray for my friends, those who have heard this for the very first time. Please be with them as they go home tonight. Give them an open mind. Help them to go to the Bible and study for themselves. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bring us back tomorrow evening and even tomorrow morning as we continue to experience the sweet rest and the sweet blessing you've promised to us. Be with us now as we leave. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's children say,